We read there verse 1, as Paul is writing this to Titus, for the reasons to go and appoint elders in every city and set in order what remains, he tells them in chapter 2, verse 1, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Titus was going about this island, and he's doing these things, the Lord's work. He's appointing elders and instructing the Cretans. Paul's instruction was to him to speak those things that are fitting for sound doctrine. Give those Cretans this foundation that they need, that continue to build upon that foundation. Remind them that that they need to be following God, living a godly life, but you do those things that are fitting the sound doctrine. As you're speaking the things and instructing them to live a godly life, they need to have that sound doctrine. And then we talked last week about older men, verse 2. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and in perseverance. we talked about sober-minded and temperate, and the things that as we become older, we need to be in self-control. We need to be living that life that is respectful of God, that is Christ-like, and that'll lead us to those three things there that he says: sound in faith, and sound in love, and sound in perseverance. Sound in faith, and sound in love, and sound in perseverance. Men, as you're getting older, as we get older, continue to pray for that faith that you're giving that example to the younger men, to your families, that your faith is relying on God. Your life is relying on God and less on yourself. And then we talked a little bit about sound in love. Being sound is healthy. Something that's we talked about being solid. And is your life exhibiting something that is healthy and a healthy amount of love exhibiting to your family and your friends? Is it evident that you're sound in love? And are you sound in patience and perseverance? Are the things that you do, the actions that you take, or the reactions we talked about last week, the buttons that get pushed and the last nerve that gets touched. Those things shouldn't be. We should have a life that's sound in faith and perseverance and love. And then we got into talking about his instruction, Titus to instruct the women. And then in verse 3, it says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. He says, likewise, you need to be reverent. And I used the example of the term reverent was used in the Old Testament of a conduct of a priest. How serious that responsibility is. And so much is, there's so much at stake. Those priests were going before the altar, and how important that was. Well, just think about the older women, how important that role is that you're living as an example for the younger women. There's so much good to be done in our church family, in our own families, in our friends, and take that responsibility seriously. And then he says there, not to be malicious gossips. Your time is precious. The time you should be spending is not on, spreading false information that could hurt someone, and not just insinuating things and getting into conversations that aren't beneficial. They're not helping anyone. You shouldn't be enslaved to much wine. You should be teaching what's good. And then verse 4, he says, so that they may encourage. You're doing all these things, or not doing all these things, so you may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. That's what kind of where we are today to get us where we needed to start off with this morning. Older women should be teaching the younger women what? What does he say there? Love your husbands, love your children. But he starts off there and says teaching them what is good. And those things are a byproduct of that as well, that's for sure, or part of that. But teaching them to do what is good. You know, you think about that, you know, husbands, we have a responsibility in the household. And wives have a responsibility. And he says to love your husbands. And we're going to get into that marriage relationship just a little bit more. But teaching those younger women what is good. Have you ever had an instance where you got to a circumstance in your life and you're going along and say, man, I wish somebody would have showed me how to do that. Now, I don't know how to put that together. I don't know how to use this. I don't know how to handle that situation maybe. I wish I would have had somebody back in my life that maybe had kind of showed me, you know, as they say, showed me the ropes, as it were. But here, this is the utmost importance of the role of an older woman to equip and to train the young women. And there's nobody better equipped than a godly Christian woman to teach the young women. And so, you know, the older women, I know that you see there's younger women that are here and families and you know, just that encouragement sometimes maybe is boy, I see how faithful you are with your little children running around and how encouraging it is to me to see you. Just whatever it is that you can do. And you women, you know, I know you're doing that kind of things already. You're looking out for the younger women and encouraging. But you know where it starts, though? It starts in the home, doesn't it? The older women and maybe your daughter's already grown. But maybe you have an opportunity to train that granddaughter of yours and teach her. You know, as I've gotten older as a grandfather, you know, I look back on the times when I was a father when I was younger, and my mind was on work, and my mind was on softball and basketball and sports and doing all those little things and that I should have been more focused over here and training my children. Not that I wasn't, you know, bringing them to church or doing good things, but those little opportunities that I see now as a grandfather to, boy, there's an opportunity to just talk about God and what, you know, maybe something that just happened that day, or, you know, just use every opportunity. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. You're talking about the Christian home and teaching what is good. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look there in verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Now, this scripture, you know, a lot of times we don't necessarily apply it to our home life and things that are going on. We usually use that, you know, as, you know, out in life and dealing with different things and being steadfast and faithful. But always abounding in the work of the Lord. There is nothing more important for you to be doing in your Christian life with your family than to training up those daughters and granddaughters. Is there not? Always abounding in love. Take every opportunity. Older women train and teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. You know, you think about the times of older times back then. The marriages many times were arranged, most commonly. That's the way it was. You didn't get to pick who you wanted to date and get a call. It was you're going to marry this person because this person, you know, family is going to do this for us. And, you know, just different arrangements that were always, you know, being made. Young brides had to learn to love their husbands after they were married. They didn't get to know them beforehand. And so in today's society, you know, we know people marry for a lot of different reasons. Their physical attractions or whatever, they come together. And I can tell you that as you start to get to know one another, we know that sometimes there's struggles, isn't there, in a young marriage. And if somebody you don't even know, think about how hard that is. And so these older women, he's instructed them to train these younger women to love their husbands and love their children. Yeah, Eric?
I'm assuming that word love is agape.
Well, it's more of a physical love here, I think. More of the affectionate and just looking after, that kind of thing. That's good question. That's my understanding of my studies, Eric. Thank you. It is more of the physical and being looking after. But I can tell you, you know, as us men, we're hard to love sometimes, aren't we? Aren't we? When sometimes we're kind of grumpy and a little growly and we have our own ways sometimes. But you know what? If you're a younger man, you need to be thinking about this. As an older man, I can tell you from experience that, you know, there's many opportunities for you to do the wrong thing. I just say it that way. There's many opportunities for a young man in today's society to do the wrong thing. And loving relationships take time, they take work, and older women can show the younger women what a loving relationship looks like by modeling in their own lives. And men, you know, we have a responsibility, and it's a relationship that needs God in and faith in that relationship. Let's look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 18 says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord." How should you be towards your husband? In subjection, but as it's fitting to the Lord. You're being in a relationship, and because God has put you together and it's fitting to the Lord, you need to do the right things. Because God would have you do the right things. And then verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them." How frustrating young men can be. How frustrating that we can be. And if you're an older man that's been in Christ for a long time, and you and your wife, and it's hard for her to get along with you, is there something that you need to do? Is there something you need to change in your life to make it easier on that wife that's trying so hard? Older women continue to show that example. And then and older women, he says, you know, teach the young women to love their children. We talked a little bit about that. You know, these marriages that were arranged for the purpose, to bring families together. But also, these women were put in a family to raise children. You know, that was the main thing, to produce an heir and maybe even provide a worker for the field or whatever the family was doing. You know, that was their role. You know, we use the term baby making machine. You know, that's what they were there for. And boy, just think about that. You just feel like, have this kid and that's what I'm here for. Well, no, that's not what God intended. God intended for you to nurture that children. I don't have to tell you ladies that have had children that. You know how, how that is. You want to be that person that shows them, that trains them. And you know, these women at this time, you know, it was different. It was hard to have that warm feeling sometimes when you felt like you were just a process. And I want to just spend just a minute and encourage us to talk about, you know, godly mothers. You know, what is it, that role that you have to love your children? What are you trying to get them towards? What are you trying to train them up and teach them? This is where you all talk. Yeah, Rita, thank you. Right. So just to summarize, you're right. In today in society right now, that, you know, the sin that's going on, the lack of understanding there is a soul there that you're about to have or have had, and the importance of training that child to do the right things, whether it be loving others and not, you know, as a child and training them up the right way, how important that is. Yeah, Leroy?
My mother taught me to love God.
Mother taught you to love God. That's exactly my very first point right there. Right there, I think that's the number one role that God intended, isn't it? To love God. How wonderful that feeling that is for a young mother to see their child be grow and be faithful. To love God, and then, you know, what else? What else are you trying to get them to do? If they're loving God, what else are they going to do? Love one another? You're going to be setting that good example for them. You're going to train them up to as a child to love others, aren't you? To, you know, to have some discipline, some godly discipline in their lives, and respect. And, you know, there's a long list I think we could go through. And you want them to love, you know, love themselves and feel good about themselves, but it's not about their talents, is it? It's not about their goals or their grades or anything like that. Boy, that we said it earlier. They're number one. You want to get them. You want to point them to Christ. And Psalms 127 talks about, you know, the child is a gift. It's a gift and a reward. And today our society, again, back to Rita's point, I don't think, they don't recognize that. That it's a reward and a gift from God. Something to be proud of. Something to take care of. This precious gift from God. Then let's look at verse 5 there, back in Titus 2. So as older women are training the younger women, to do these things, he says, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, be subject to their own husbands. You know, there's five things there that he lists. As Paul instructs Titus of what the older women should be training younger women. It's talking about some qualities, some very good qualities to talk about and see that you need to encourage them to do to train the younger women. You know, these are the things to be striving for and to be sensible, first off. The first one is sensible. And I mentioned that last week, I believe, that, you know, it seems like every single category that Titus is supposed to instruct, Paul says that they need to have some sensibility. They need to be sensible. And the need for sensibility in today in our society, you know, and on the island of Crete and in today's society, you know, we might call it, you know, having some common sense as well. You know, we use that term a lot. Some versions there, instead of sensible, may use the word discreet. You got that, Jerry? Okay. We need to be teaching discretion, don't we? And sensibility. And those things they're not getting any more common, discretion, are they? They're getting less and less in our society. They're being less and they're going being pushed aside. And we're seeing so many things on TV and social media, and we know as faithful Christians that our focus needs to be, and we're all familiar with this verse, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that they should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Continue to get them to understand what morals are and what sensibility is and what God, you know, being fearful and having a Christ-like attitude are. And the second one that he mentions there, he says to be pure, to be sensible and pure. Young wives needed to be taught to be faithful to their husbands and husbands being faithful to their wives. And then there again, in our society, we know that's something that's glorified, being unfaithful. We have, there's shows all day long during the week called soap operas, aren't they? And they glorify the unfaithfulness, the unpurity, being unpure. And then the next one is workers at home. You know, this workers at home, that's something that kind of goes against society, but he's not saying there that you can't have a job outside the home. It's just that he's emphasizing that she should neglect what's more important, the responsibilities of the family. You know, I said earlier, husbands, wives, both have that responsibility. And a job outside, you know, I mentioned, you know, the focus that takes us away, you know, when I was a young man, you know, and even, you know, now, our jobs tend to be so much of our focus. But the job inside the home is the ultimate responsibility, the bigger responsibility in the home. And the world, again, it just doesn't understand that. They think, you know, you need to be getting ahead in life, and you need to be living these things and doing these fun things. And the task of having a godly, loving Christian home, you know, you don't hear anything about that, do you? You don't hear things about that in society. And then he says to be kind. Some versions might say, in place of kind, say, it may say good. Teach the younger women that what kindness looks like. Let's look at Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verse 26. Now, this is a very good description of a godly, and my Bible says a worthy woman. But let's look at just verse 26 here. Proverbs 31, verse 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. You know, the teaching of of kindness is on her tongue. How does your younger women, how does your daughters, your granddaughters, those that you're around you, how do they hear you talk? What's the things that are coming out of your mouth? Are they negative about people? Are they negative about, you know, things that have just happened? But are they, you know, God's in control and we need to be doing this to look towards God and you know, get that direction, those words that can direct other people's, you know, looking to the things that are right in God's words or actions. When we think about, you know, kindness, whether word or indeed, you know, we know that those things have an impact on other people, don't they? Look at Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let us not lose heart and grow weary. You know, I thought about this in the scripture in training up young women, and I thought about a young mother who has worked all day long already, and then they come home and they have to work some more many times, don't they? There's so much to be done in the home, isn't there? And here this scripture can apply to a young mother. Young mothers, don't grow weary. Continue to do good. Continue to let the kindness come from your mouth. Continue to let the kindness show towards others, and you'll reap that reward. Your children will have that good example. God will be pleased. And you know, those are the things that, you know, even though things can be just overwhelming, boy, just think how wonderful, you know, that feeling of knowing that you've done the right thing. And then back to Titus chapter verse 5 of chapter 2, he says to be in subjection to their own husbands. You know, you know, we, again, society, you know, doesn't like to hear that. And it doesn't mean that you're inferior to your husband. You know, husbands and wives have a responsibility. Ephesians 5 and verse 22 and through 25. Let's go ahead and read that. We have time today to do that. Wasn't sure if we'd have time. Ephesians 5. My fingers will work here. Ephesians 5, verse 22 through 25. Wives, be in subjection to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And again, I said, you know, responsibility is both, isn't it? You know, we both have a role to play, and God has given us both that responsibility. Husbands have an obligation to guide the household, and wives have need to be that encouragement and in subjection to their husbands. And back to Titus, here's where he kind of ends his thought here about these five things. You know, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, be subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. You know, that's what's so important as we're living our lives. You know, as we get instruction from God's word, you know, it's easy to discard things in life sometimes. Oh, I heard that before, And the next thing you know, I'm doing the wrong thing again. But that's what we as Christians, we recognize the Word of God is what we need to hold as our sound doctrine we've talked about, as our teaching for godly living. So as a result, God's Word will not be dishonored. By keeping, you know, honor in honoring God and following His teaching, you know, are we perfect? No. We all make mistakes, but these are the things that we are striving for. And whether it be our actions or our reactions, you know, they can either glorify God or they can dishonor Him. So let's talk a little bit about, as Paul's going to get into verse 6 there, he's going to talk about the young men. Do you have any comments? Yeah, Rick. Good. That's a good point, Rick. And that's right. We know that in society, the, you know, parenting is where it, you know, it starts. But it starts by that parent having that faith in God to teach that young child. And that's right. That's what in our society, and being that person that shows their faith sometimes can be ridiculed in society. It can be, you know, the things that you do. But the thing for you and I is, you know, as we're living that life, you know, and being an example to other people, you know, they know that you're a Christian at your work. They know that you're a person of faith. And so what do they see? You know, what do they see from you? You know, your coworkers, your neighbors, your family members, you know, outside of the family members that might be outside of Christ, your children, your husband, your wife, you know, whatever it is. You know, Colossians 3, verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. You know, society doesn't recognize that. It's whatever I do, I want to do. And so, whatever you do, and it says, you know, that implies all, any, or ever. Whatever you do, do nothing is excluded. There's no excuse for your actions. Whatever you do, you know, think about this and as we go about our lives. In word and deed, do it all how? All in the name of the Lord. So we can ask ourselves whether we're a young man that's, you know, supposed to be, you know, Paul's going to tell Titus to train the young men to be sensible, or whether you're a godly woman, older women, train the younger women. You know, whatever, wherever you're at in your life, think about this and that scripture right there. And you do something. Can you say, what I just did was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and does it glorify Him? Well, I've heard that. What would Jesus do? Yeah. So what did I just do? What I just did was it sensible? Was it pure? You know, in his name, was it kind in His name? Was I being subjection to my husband? Was I being sensible as a young man? You know, think about that. Did what you just did, you know, and you think about God and what He gave us, you know, on Christ on the cross, there's no way that you can justify anything that you just did if you're doing it in the name of the Lord. Yeah, Ron?
The contrast between that and what the world,
yes,
the world run by sin. Because what we hear all the time, what we see, what we hear, is equality and equity.
Yes.
God's word puts family, puts us at work in a court. And in order for us to achieve what God wants, we have to be subject. And we have to work with people. And there have to be people who are in charge of us. And that's what God's word teaches, that the world is fighting against us.
And
so we should all be equal. No one should be over one another.
Right.
That's
good point. That's right. And it is. It's totally in contrast to society. And Ron's, you know, basically a point about, you know, equity and equality and things like that. We're all equal in God's sight. And God has put these things into place for our instruction, for our good, to bring us up and to, you know, to glorify Him. You know, that's what, you know, we should be focusing on, doing all in the name of Him to please Him and to honor Him. And so exactly, Ron, and the older women, you know, encouraging the younger women to honor God's word and in their conduct and their worship. And the same thing, you know, our thoughts, you know, turning to young men. Paul instructs Titus that you know, instructs them to be sensible. You know, the world, back to your point there, the world tells young men to do what?
Live life.
Sow your wild oats. Remember that expression? We used to use that a lot. You know, live life to the fullest. You know, go for the gusto. You know, worry about that later. You got to go to this, you know, take care, do this that's fun, or, you know, whatever it is. There's no care. There's no sensibility. There's no attitude of I'm going to worry about someone else first. It's all about me, isn't it? And we learned back in chapter 1 there of Titus, you know, Paul talking to Titus that, you know, on the island of Crete, even one of their own prophets said the Cretans are liars and evil beasts and lazy. You know, there were some really, really bad examples there, and boy, there is today, isn't there? Really bad today in society. You know, party now and live, you know, disrespecting a marriage. A marriage is just a piece of paper that, you know, you can go get another one. You know, you can go down to the courthouse. Failed marriages and children torn apart from families and you know, people, you know, even in the Lord, walking away from God and you know, the people, you know, that they never recover that are involved in those situations. You know, I've seen in my lifetime and in past you know, friends and relatives that have let their lives just go. They started out as young and being in Christ and brought up in the church, and they continue to go down a path that now their children you know, are just I can't even describe how lost and how sad the situations are. And there's no sensibility in their lives. And these young men on Crete, you know, and today, you know, they needed a good example. They needed a godly example. And Paul tells Titus, look at verse 7. And he's instructing Titus here in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is above reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. You know, Titus, live your life as an example. You know, that's all we can do. We can just do the best that we can do. As I said earlier, we're not perfect, but here you go, Titus. Preach the truth. Show the things that are right. Do the good deeds, showing yourself to be an example, you know, of good deeds. You know, being someone that's willing to sacrifice for others. Show the young men that what a good life and a great, you know, impact you can be on those lives. And as we continue to look next week, we'll pick right up here. We'll talk about, you know, Lord willing, we'll finish looking at Paul's charge to Titus to be an example in the purity and dignity and you know, the effects and what these young men need to be and to have in their life, to have faith in God. So thank you for your time and attention today.